96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Children across the U.S. are back in school this month, and for many school districts, those children had to have updated vaccinations before they could attend class. But they aren't the only ones. New parents are having to contend with watching newborns and toddlers go through the painful medical rite of passage that is the vaccination process. But not all parents are sure it's what they want. What is the genesis of the vaccination controversy, and what do you as a parent need to know? That's the focus of this year's Rosalind Payne Epps Lecture. It's tomorrow, September 8th at 11 a.m. It's free at Howard University Hospital. The guest lecturer is Dr. Paul Offit, director of the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Vaccinations and what you need to know tonight. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Follow me on Twitter. I'm there at HFisherWHUR or Daily Drum WHUR. Dr. Offit, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Let's first talk about vaccinations and what is the purpose of vaccinations for newborns and toddlers?
Well, to prevent a variety of bacterial and viral infections that cause diseases like pneumonia and meningitis and hepatitis and sepsis, which is a bloodstream infection. So, you know, prior to vaccines in the early 1900s, we lived 30 years less long than we live now because of vaccines. So vaccines have saved our lives.
And there are so many others, too. You know, we got polio vaccines, we got measles, rubella, all of those, right?
Yeah, there are children in the first few years of life will get vaccines to prevent 14 different diseases, and then there's another couple diseases that are prevented during the adolescent vaccination.
Mm-hmm. So what is going to be the focus specifically of your lecture tomorrow? What is it that you're trying to convey?
I think I want to talk about how the public perceives vaccines, how we struggle in many ways to communicate science to the public, why it is that so many fears and misinformations or misleading information surrounds vaccines. How did we come to this point? And I think at some level, you know, we ask citizens in the United States to give vaccines to prevent 14 different diseases in the first couple years of life, which can mean as many as 26 inoculations during that time. It can mean as many as 5 shots at one time to prevent diseases that most people don't see, using biological fluids that most people don't understand. So it's not at all surprising that there's pushback on vaccines. But, you know, if we choose to push back hard enough and we choose not to vaccinate our children, then you'll see what we're starting to see, which is in 2015 and 2017, we had massive measles epidemics. We had a big mumps epidemic in 2016, all because parents are choosing to leave their children at risk unnecessarily.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about vaccinations, what you need to know. My guest is Dr. Paul Offit. He is the director of the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. He is also the guest lecturer at the Rosalind Payne Epps Lecture tomorrow, September 8th, at Howard University Hospital. It's at 11 a.m. If you have a question about vaccinations, if you are concerned about them, if you are one of those parents that has opted out of vaccinating your child, please give us a call. We'd like to talk to you again, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Talk to me a little bit more, Dr. Offit, about where we were before, here in the United States, before there was the kind of widespread vaccinations that, you know, that we had. And I specifically reference, you know, polio, because there are people of a certain age, you know, remember that.
Well, I'm of that age. I was a child of the 50s. So, I mean, I got the first polio vaccine, but I actually was, because of a birth defect in my foot when I was born, I was actually hospitalized for a fairly long period of time in a polio ward. in the mid-1950s, and so there were 20 children in that ward. I remember polio well, but, you know, polio at its peak would cause upwards of 50,000 children to be paralyzed every year. It would kill about 1,500 children every year. People were scared to death to take their children in the summer months to a common swimming pool. Polio scared people to death. I remember a friend of mine who's actually in the vaccine world said when he was supposed to get his polio vaccine, which was a shot then, he said, he didn't want to cry. And he didn't want to get it because he knew he was going to cry. And his mother said, you know, better you should cry now than I should cry later. I think that's probably the best description of why it was important to get that vaccine.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about vaccinations for your child, what you need to know. Mayella calling. Mayida?
Mayella.
Okay, Mayella. Thank you so much, Mayella. Calling from Gaithersburg, what's on your mind?
Yes, hi. I'm calling from Gaithersburg. I just had a 9-month-old child in
December. Congratulations.
Thank you. I have a set of 9-year-old twins that I was vaccinating, but I chose to opt out with this child due to a few researches that I've been doing on, you know, the risk of giving your children vaccinations with all these ingredients. I know the risk that, I'm sorry, I can't really talk. I'm kind of shocked to be on the radio. But I know that there are risks for not giving your child vaccination, but what are the risks of giving the vaccinations with all these ingredients that are in the vaccine that you're not...
What ingredients are you worried about?
I can't hardly pronounce any of the scientific terms because they're so big, but there's some ingredients in there like the mercury, like the lead, like things that can affect their psychological development. Like, okay, so, I know they're little small percentages, but don't the little small percentage matter? Does it not matter at all?
No, that's a perfect question. First of all, there is not lead in any vaccine, so you don't worry about that. But there is a mercury-containing preservative called ethyl mercury, which is the trade name for that is thimerosal, in some multi-dose vials of the influenza vaccine. So people worry about that, and you used to understand why people would worry about that, because certainly mercury at high quantities, high doses, can cause, you know, developmental defects and can affect the brain. But remember, we live on the planet Earth, and on the planet Earth, there's mercury. There's mercury in the Earth's crust. So therefore, if you live on this planet and you drink anything made from water on this planet, including, you know, breast milk or infant formula, you're going to be ingesting mercury. And you will ingest mercury, which will then be absorbed into your bloodstream at levels far greater than you would ever get from a vaccine. So you said it earlier, actually. The dose makes the poison. I mean, we are exposed to, if you look in your bloodstream or your children's bloodstreams, there's a variety of heavy metals, including arsenic and cadmium and thallium and beryllium, because we live on the planet Earth. But the dose makes the poison. So these trivial concentrations of products that certainly sound awful are really harmless when they're present in such small quantities. So by leaving your child, see, this always breaks my heart when parents call and say what you've just told me. Please don't leave your child vulnerable to this. I mean, I guess we all have our biases. Mine is that I work in a hospital, and in our hospital, Children's Hospital of Philadelphia, there's not a year that goes by when we don't see a child suffer and occasionally die from a vaccine-preventable disease. And these are preventable illnesses. You express what many parents express, which is that you read things on the internet that scare you. But I'm telling you that what you're reading on the internet is misleading. People give vaccine. I mean, I can tell you that doctors who are well informed about this also vaccinate their children. So please vaccinate your children.
One quick.
So I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
So I'm also living a really healthy lifestyle. When I say healthy, I'm mentioning like an alkaline lifestyle where, you know, we're eating natural fruits and vegetables from the earth that are naturally from the earth. Nothing is genetically modified. I'm breastfeeding my baby. Is that not enough to fight off a disease to make him healthy? You know, I mean, which the vaccines outweigh the natural resources that we have as far as fighting sicknesses?
Okay, so it's great that you're doing that, but there's only two ways to develop specific immunity, meaning where your body's, where you make antibodies, you know, which are those proteins that neutralize viruses or bacteria. There's only two ways to have that happen. One is to be immunized, or two is to be naturally infected with the virus or bacteria. Although you're right that certainly, you know, eating healthy and exercising, you know, puts your immune system in excellent shape. you still don't have specific immunity. I mean, take somebody like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, you know, a president who was felled by polio. He was a patrician. He ate well, he exercised, he was a vigorous, healthy man, and he was felled by polio. He was paralyzed for the rest of his life because he didn't have specific immunity, and he unfortunately was living at a time before a polio vaccine.
Well, Maiella, thank you so much for your calling, and we certainly do wish you and the new baby good health. So I appreciate
your
phone call. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're talking about vaccinations and your child, what you need to know. If you have a question, if you have a concern or a comment, now is the time to ask. I have on the line Dr. Paul Offit, who is the director of the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. He will also be the guest lecturer for the annual Rosalind Payne Epps Lecture tomorrow, September 8th, 11 a.m. It's free. It's at Howard University Hospital. So if you have a question or a comment, please give us a call. Now is the time. Let's go to Ngozi, calling from Columbia. Ngozi, thanks for calling.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
I'd like to ask the doctor to please talk about the correlations that some people fear or parents fear, the high correlation of children who have now have autism and Asperger's syndrome, which never, ever, ever happened before like it's happening now. Please talk about that in terms of brain and nervous development and how people believe or fear and the reason why they might because of the giving of vaccines to children who are so young.
Right. So this was a question that was first raised in the late 1990s by a British researcher named Andrew Wakefield, who claimed that the measles, mumps, rubella, or MMR vaccine increased your risk of autism. So you can argue it's a fair question, right? My child was fine. Then they got this vaccine. Now they have this disorder. Could the vaccine have caused it? That's an answerable question. The way that you answer that question is that you look at children who did or didn't receive that vaccine to see whether or not the incidence of autism or developmental delays is greater in the vaccinated group. That study has been done 17 times since he raised that question in seven different countries on three different continents involving millions of children, and the answer is consistent and reliable and robust. MMR vaccine did not cause autism. Then we move, sort of the goalpost shifted to thimerosal, this ethylmercury-containing preservative in vaccines caused autism. That study has been done seven times, looking at children who received vaccines that contained, you know, small quantities of, or essentially trace quantities of mercury, as compared to children who received the exact same vaccines that didn't contain mercury. No difference in developmental outcome. Then the sort of the goalpost shifted a third time to children are just getting too many vaccines too soon, and that's why it is that we're seeing this increased incidence of autism. And again, there was no difference between a vaccinated or unvaccinated group. I think you're right, though, at one thing you said. I do think that that disorder has increased in time. And I think there are a number of possible reasons for that. Like one is we're far more aware of that disorder than we were when I was a child, although I can think of a child certainly in my elementary school class that would have been on the autism spectrum, but he wasn't diagnosed with that. I mean, he was
Dr. Offit, before you continue, because I want to continue on this point. I've just got to take a break because I also have a question about a point you were just making. So please hold that point.
Sure.
I need to take a break. Ngozi, I want you to hang on as well so that you can hear the answer to his question. Wendy in Maryland and Tina in D.C. We're also going to talk to you. Lines are still open if you have a question about vaccines, and your concerns about how they impact the lives of your children. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We will be answering your call, so please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in a few seconds.